Brother Brian Glazer will read, and then Brother Armand will introduce the subject.
So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Read about the effect of the Lord coming to see him. Verse 16 says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Just to highlight that in section A on the outline, the effect as we anticipate is coming. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Hebrews 10. Verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke him through love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching." 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Finally, Romans chapter 8, verse 25. "But if you hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it."
To go to the park, so if you're sleeping, I guess you didn't take the opportunity. I'm really vitalized, having ran around a couple bases myself, you know. But it is a wonderful thing that we are one moment, one hour, one day closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Even as we sit in our seats, we anticipate hearing that shout and meeting the Lord in the air. So the song writer says, "And shall we see thy face and hear thy heavenly voice, well known to us in present grace? Well, may our hearts rejoice." And that's why we're here, that we may rejoice in the presence of the one who's in our midst, who's also exalted and glorified at the right hand of God. And so the story goes, according to 1 Corinthians 15, Christ, I had it for a minute, I'm just going to read it then. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Linking us up with his first coming and his present effect. "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And if you go as far as the Mount, or as far as Bethany, and fix your eyes on the one we heard of today, David of Hebron, or the Lord Jesus, you will see him ascend back to where he came as a man. There is a man in heaven in glory now at God's right hand. There is a man that we are occupied with at this very moment. There is a man who is coming as Savior, and you'll see that later on, who will show manifestly that death has been swallowed up. And that's the thrust of 1 Corinthians, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. God is so wonderful. He has not left us right at resurrection. You know, we have died with Christ. We've been buried with Him. We've been raised with Him. Colossians 2. We will ascend to where He is. I want to invite you to go to Revelation chapter 4 in your thoughts. And I want you to see, as we've been studying of late, the throne of God. And there you will see circles. The first circle in that instance is the four living creatures. And then the next circle, the 24 elders. And then the large, very large circle, the angelic host. How did those saints get there? And that's one key point. When He comes, He's coming not for the church only, He's coming for the heavenly company, for the saints. All of the Old Testament saints are dead in Christ presently. We shall not all sleep. That's a mystery. And you know, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, the rapture is supposed. It is supposed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And here, in our hearts, as we move in this scene, we heard that the enemy is defeated. We know that death has been defeated. The grave has been robbed of its victim. Death had dominion over our Savior, our Lord Jesus, no more. And God in His heart desires a company, a redeemed company, around His throne for the purposes of being in the employment of His praise. The first part, as we're here in this scene, the Apostle tells us to be immovable. The Apostle John encourages us that although it's not yet manifested what we shall be, we know two things. We know two things. We shall see Him, and we shall be like Him. And we, in this present scene, present age, ought to encourage or provoke one another to love. Encourage one another to assemble together. So much more as we see that day approaching. And so we have the encouragement as to His coming again. It's in two parts. And brethren, I would encourage us to be exercised, and I'll sit down, as to not only His coming, when He will come to claim us, the saints, in secret, to take us out of the scene where we do not belong, for we, as our brother suggested, are outside of the administration of man, and under we are presently in the kingdom of the Son of His love, under the authority of the One who has secured everything for God, His heart, and His glory. We're under His authority. And the Lord Jesus would catch us, not the world, out of the scene. To Himself, for Himself, for the enjoyment of God. And so the Apostle says, the Lord Himself shall descend. If that is the case, hold on, press on, strengthen that which remains, be immovable, and realize every enemy, every foe, the Lord Jesus has defeated for us. May we move in victory. And I think the exercise that was laid on the heart at this point is coming in secret should move us in His service and taking up His interest, the interest of Christ, the assembly in this scene till He comes.
To go through 1 Thessalonians 4 and move on from there?
Yes, we want to cover the verses that were read.